Our God and Father, thank you for being our anchor. Lord, we surrender our lives to you knowing that you are worthy of them. You are worthy of our trust. You are completely sure. There is nothing else in this world that we could say that about. So, Father, I ask that this morning as we lay our lives before you, as we set our hands to your work, Lord, that you would remove those things that would prevent us from doing that. That you would take away pride, that you would encourage fear, and that you would bring us the heart of compassion that moved our Savior. Lord, I pray that as we look at your word, as we look at what you are calling us to this morning, we would see our place in your plans more clearly, that our eyes would be focused on you and following you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, everyone. My bride and I came home late last night from the state of Arizona. How many of you have been out west, out to Arizona, Grand Canyon? I want to take you guys there. I really wish I could. Just so that I could take you out to the arid desert where you are in a parched land and your tongue sticks to the roof of your mouth and you are just craving water and you haven't even done anything and say, you think my preaching is dry? Wow. No. I would also want to take you to a certain point. Mather Point, the Grand Canyon. We got the opportunity to not only go see the Grand Canyon, but actually in it. That's a dream. I remember as a 9-year-old boy, I would read National Geographic. And did you ever have like those maps from National Geographic? I always dreamed about going to the places those maps were. And Grand Canyon was one of them. I had planned out this entire hike that I was going to do at the age of 9. And I thought I could go from one end to the other in just a few days. Boy, did I have my eyes opened when I got there. From one rim of the Grand Canyon to the other is 24 miles. One rim. And at Mather's Point, you can actually stand there and what looks like something that you could reach out and touch, that maybe, just maybe, if you jumped really hard, you might be able to get there, is actually 5 miles away. And you look and you think, oh, there's a cliff. There's the bottom. Nope, that's just the beginning of another cliff. Oh, there's the bottom. Nope, that's the beginning of another cliff. And you go down and down and you realize you cannot see the bottom from where you're standing. You gain some real perspective and you feel very, 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 very small, especially when you're hiking in it. We hiked 3 miles in. We just went to 3-mile rest. And we needed a 3-hour rest by the end of that, because we also went almost a mile down. For those of you that don't understand, it's the backwards of what we do when we hike here. Mountains, you hike up. That's the hard part. And then you get the reward of the descent. It's nice and easy. You got gravity working with you. Well, this upstate New York and Pennsylvania boy thought, oh, wow, this is going really easy. I can keep going on the way down. Then we had the route back up. 3 miles of, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? What was I thinking? I don't have the strength for this. Man, it's about perspective. It really is. It gave me a healthy dose of perspective, being in the presence of the Grand Canyon. It helped fix my mental vision while we were there. I want to go through a little bit of perspective change as well. We are going through this series, Grace Vision Exam, just a vision of what we are here, what God has called us to be as a church, and getting a mental perspective of just how big certain things are and how small perhaps we are. Just a proper understanding. We need to have a clear vision of our mission, and this as a church is what we have declared is our mission, our vision. And so I'm going to ask our members to read this aloud. And this is not a cultish thing. This is just us declaring as members. Here's what we believe God has called us to be. Starting off with the beginning here. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by serving our community, seeking the lost, and growing as committed followers of Jesus Christ. And when you notice those colors, each has a purpose. If you put it into a scheme, a picture, this is what it looks like. We put it all into this picture, and everything we do here is based on those first two steps that we have been through so far. The worship and connect. Last week we looked at the worship. The first week we looked at the connect, that the people that belong to God belong together. The people who belong to God belong together. And then we looked at the worship, that everything we do glorifies God because the people of God point to God. The people of God point to God. That's what our entire life is about. So when we get back together in church on Sunday, it's exactly the same. Everything we do here points to God. It's not about us. It's not about bringing attention to us. And each one of those pictures and colors actually has a purpose. Blue, the connection between the sky and the depths of the sea, heights above, depths below. It's God meeting with us. He's so high above us and us so unworthy to be in his presence, and yet he chooses to meet with us here. We talked about connect, the orange being connected to fire, the warmth it produces. Some churches are a lot of light, but not a lot of warmth. Some of them are a lot of warmth, but not a whole lot of light. We need both. And there has to be regular interaction with each other. But now we're going to go from the steps to the pillars. These are the things that are the most obvious. You walk into a huge building, you're thinking about these pillars, and these are the things that are clearly seen. And maybe you might be more attracted to one of these pillars than the other, but they are all important to what we do here at Grace. And each one of them is built on the foundation of connecting and worshiping. So we're going to look at that first pillar on the left where you see the hands holding a heart. We're going to look at serving. God has called us to serve our community here in Tyrone, the surrounding area, or the world at large. God has called you to connect with the people that you connect with on a regular basis as a part of serving them. We use the color yellow because it represents light. It illuminates, it brings knowledge, it reveals the truth to all who see it. On our way to the Grand Canyon, we were in Phoenix, which, by the way, to us, we would think, okay, that's not very far. The city of Phoenix is as big as from here to Lock Haven. It was 45 minutes to get to the other side. So it was a 3.5-hour drive to the Grand Canyon. Since we didn't have to hike at night, we drove very early in the morning. We headed out somewhere around, I think it was 6 o'clock in the morning. Sun hadn't come up yet. Still dark. We had flown in the dark. We had gone to our Airbnb in the dark, and we were driving in the dark. No light. So I didn't know what I was looking at. I just knew there was a road. And then all of a sudden, the sun comes up, and I see these weird things on the side of the road. Cacti everywhere. I had never seen one before in my whole life except for in pots in my mom's house. And these things are like 30, 40 feet tall. And not a tree to be seen. Bramble brush and sand everywhere. And then these jagged, toothy, beautiful mountains. The light revealed what was there. It didn't change anything. But I finally saw it. That's what happens when we serve. It acts like light. It shows what's there. It shows the truth and demonstrates that. See, the church, we Christians are called the light of the world. We shine the light of the gospel when it lives itself out in the way that we serve one another. Now, when I say the word serve, I don't want you thinking like you're sitting there with a towel over your arm and a tray. What would you like, sir? Yes, madam. What is your order? None of that. Yes, we might do that. Serving, let me just put it very simply as to what serving is. It's using your skills and resources to help others. Period. Some of you already did that this morning. You have a voice. You can carry a tune. Some of you served by ushering. Some of you who are going to be catching this later are serving in the back with junior church. Some of you counted the money. You served. You used your skills and resources to help others. I want my life to count for something. If possible, I want it to count for something more than just my life. I would love it if my life counted for something eternal. That's part of what's behind service. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one here. And many of you, how many of you want grace, our church here, our church family, what we do here, the church, to count for something, for eternity? But we have to ask ourselves, why? Why do we serve? Do we serve to compete with other churches in the area? Hey, you could consider us in competition, trying to pull from the same pool of people. Pause just for a moment. If that's your thought, you realize that in a town of 5,000 people, we have 28 churches. That's 5,000 people in the immediate area, and in that same area, 28 churches. Do you see any of them busting at the seams? We're not in competition with any church at all. We're not going to build grace by tearing other churches down. It doesn't work that way. What about competing with other religions, though? Well, while that might be a little healthier because we're trying to get people to see the truth, but I'm not even sure that that is exactly what God had in mind for us, for our motivation for serving. Should we do it to look good? Hey, look how much better my church is than those churches, or how much grace is better than whatever else you could be doing on a Sunday morning. Remember our first principle. The foundational step is to glorify God. That means when we serve, it can't be about us, can't be about making us look good, can't be about showing us off. Doesn't matter how talented you are, how many people of a certain ability God has brought here. Doesn't matter how apt you are in a specific area. The motivation is not for showing off. It has to be about making God look good. Why do we serve? Serving pleases God. To put it simple, it pleases God when we serve. Serving the people God has called us to is an act of gratitude to God. It's actually worship in action. It's connection. It builds those relationships. They see you on stage singing, or they receive a meal from you when they were sick, or you helped a project around their house. You served them willingly. Those things build relationships. Jesus tells it to us this way. Beware of practicing your righteousness. Pause there just for a second. We could insert, beware of practicing your religiousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. If we do it for the applause of human beings, our applause, our reward ends with a last echo. And that's it. Jesus goes on to say in this passage, thus when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in their synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your hand know, your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Much of what is done here at Grace is behind the scenes. It's the man behind the curtain. It's done in secret. And the only person that knows about it is God. That's actually a good thing, according to what Jesus just told his disciples. Because the reward comes from our Father who is in heaven. He's a debtor to no one. If we're serving for applause or appreciation, we're actually missing out on the real opportunities that God has given to us. A lot of what we do doesn't come with the announcement that you did it. If you notice, when Dave did the announcements, he didn't say, and so did this week. So-and-so shared the gospel this many times. This person actually gave this much extra to somebody else in need. It didn't happen, did it? Now, we give honor to whom honor is due. We do applaud that work, but much of what we do is not done for the applause. In fact, most of what we do. Instead, we have the approval and applause of the only person in this room that matters, God. That's the only one that matters. And that is more fulfilling than the approval of any person. So as Paul said, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. He says this, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. We're ultimately not serving the people whom we serve when we serve. We're serving the God who calls them. We are showing how good God is. We serve to please God. Now, this is not, I want to please him to get saved. No. If you're a Christian, you're saved. The service is not to get saved. The service is a response to that fact. And saying, God, I want to please you for that blessing. So I want you to ask yourself this morning, has God called me to act in a particular area? To do something? Am I doing the things that I do to get applause from others? To get their approval? Or am I doing them to serve God? In whatever area that you are serving, because as I look around the room, I see many people that I know you are serving in many, many areas, wearing many hats. I want you to ask yourselves, how can I please God in this? Serving pleases God. That's its main purpose. And there's a reason that this pleases God is because it imitates Jesus. We're walking in his footsteps. We are following him. We're doing as he did. Remember what we said in our connection message, that it's what defines us that unites us, and our imitation of Jesus is what defines us, causes us to connect to each other. Jesus said that if we are connected to him, we're going to serve like he did. He says this to his disciples, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now he's using this as a picture for service. His nickname in that group was Master. And yet, he served. Jesus is telling his disciples, and in fact, all those who would follow him because of their testimony, that since he's our leader, we do as he does. It's the greatest game of follow the leader ever. What he does, we do. And Jesus didn't come to be served, he says, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You want to imitate Jesus, it includes service. And much like worship, serving is so much deeper than external actions. It starts here at your core, an inward reality, a serving mindset and heart set. Paul tells us what that heart set looks like in Philippians 2, 3 through 8. He says, do nothing, including serving, from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. It wasn't held onto and used to his own advantage. But emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. When we serve, we follow the example of the ultimate servant, Jesus. Many of you have done great things for people. Anybody in the room died for anybody else? I know some of you have given up parts of your body for somebody else, donated organs or blood. Jesus gave his whole body for it. Now, I'm not going Jim Jones, okay? We're not talking about dying this morning. We're talking about dying to self for the sake of others. The night before he died, he begged the Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. In other words, this is a huge sacrifice, and I would rather avoid it if I can. Yet he knew this was what his purpose was in this life, and he submitted his will to God's. He says, not my will, but thine be done. Humbly serving us and God in the most extreme way possible. So when you volunteer, when you serve, you won't just get what you signed up for. That's not a problem just at Grace. That's around the world. That's a universal problem. That's the part of serving. If you try to pick and choose what you want to do, here's the truth. It's not others that you're serving. It's not God that you're serving. It's God. It's yourself that you are serving. It's your own sense of self-worth, of being needed, or a way to appease your conscience, but you're not actually serving the other people or God, because you're saying, I will serve here, but that part I won't do. Now, wait a second. If God is calling you to do something, just because somebody says it doesn't mean you have to do it, by the way. But if God is calling you to do something, and you say, God, I'll sit and I will be a prophet to Israel, that's fine. But you asked me to go to Nineveh? Nope. No, 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 no. No, no, no. I'm your servant, but only here. How'd that turn out for Jonah? Not so well. Ended up in a very deep situation. Literally. See, he was actually serving himself, not God. See, when we serve, we are simply showing God that he has complete control over our lives, that he owns all of it, and he can do whatever he wants with it. Our service has this dual purpose of serving God and serving others, because we care about people. Serving people are caring people. And we care about people because God cares about people. If you truly care about people, you're going to serve them. In fact, those things that we consider service are often simply good works, displaying our relationship with God. This was the very purpose that we were saved. The Bible's pretty explicit. Listen to these passages. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. Sounds like service, doesn't it? By working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Service was part of the reason God called you to himself, to imitate Christ, to embody Christ's love and humility with everyone that we encounter. So we have to ask ourselves again, is this coming from a place of genuine concern for others? If not, it's not biblical service. It's self-service. Do I serve to make myself feel better or to better others? And this one hurts. Am I caring about other people the way Jesus does? I think we could all say we could take another step forward in that. But when we do that, when we care for people like Jesus does, we're fulfilling a major part of our purpose here in this world. Jesus told us this, that serving shines to the world. Serving shines to the world. When people see the serving Savior in you, when you act in a way that pleases God, not self, people will take notice, like a beaming light on a dark night. Jesus, the true light who gives light to everyone, tells his followers this: in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see that you believe the right things and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. That you sing the right songs. What does he say here? They may see your good works, which is basically service. Serving God and serving others. Service shines out in this dark world. So we serve to be a light. Everything that God does from the beginning to end of history is all about glorifying himself. That's what God is doing, showing his goodness, showing his character to the world. And he says, I want to involve you in this. How amazing is that? That God is going to use those things that you do to show who he is to the world. He wants to give you a part of that plan. He wants to include you in orchestrating meetings between him and the people he's calling. That's why we let our lights shine. This is a work that has an eternal result, an eternal benefit, a life that will count forever. What other work could you possibly say that about? You can look at some of the greatest works that people have done in their lives. Van Gogh's paintings will eventually deteriorate. The Empire State Building will eventually crumble. But an eternal soul is forever. And if you've been a part of shining the light of God's goodness to them, that's an eternal reward. We're doing it like no one else in the world can. Paul tells us, you were called to freedom, brothers. Only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, that's to satisfy whatever you want. But through love, serve one another. We're doing something nobody else can do because they are not freed. We are free, and that freedom gives us an opportunity to willfully serve one another, to humbly search out ways of meeting the needs of the people around us, not under compulsion, but freely, as an act of love. Service is love displayed. Caring people are serving people. Jesus said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, the early church, as a display of that, would either get you healed, because they had the apostles around who could do that, or they would do whatever it took to help you recover, or they would take care of you until you pass from this life to the next. The widows, the orphans, the needy knew, no matter what was going on, there was a refuge that they could turn to called the church. So we serve. We help everyone take the next step. We use our resources to help them. Because caring people are serving people. It pleases God, it imitates Christ, and it shines God's goodness into the world. So how do we do this? How do we serve? It's all great to talk about, you know, the why and a general theory of this, but how do we do it? How can we serve? Well, again, let's look back at Galatians 5. You are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. The very fact that he is writing this verse as a command tells you something. It's not going to come naturally. There is no way in the world you can convince me that you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is think, man, I just can't wait to serve today. Most of us hit the snooze button. I just want to go back to sleep. We don't tell people to do things that they naturally want to do. And Paul here is telling them, this is what you need to do. Serving goes against everything in their heart. Everything that our heart is telling us about us. Serving takes humility when our heart is telling us we should have pride. Serving takes consideration when our heart, sinful as it is telling us we shouldn't consider anybody but ourselves. Service takes sacrifice when our heart is telling us to hold on to what is ours. Service does not come naturally, so service must come supernaturally. That's why we're called the freedom, We are freed from the natural. We are freed from the what the Bible calls demonic, the worldly activity in our own heart. Any area of your life in which you experience freedom, that is an area that God has designed us to serve others. Where there is freedom, God has called you to use that to serve others. If you have free time, free money, free space, free skills, free anything, He didn't give it to you to be hoarded and kept for a rainy day sometime in your future. He intended it to be shared and spent on someone's rainy day right now, in the present. Your freedom is meant to serve someone else's need. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, For if the readiness is there, it's acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. Think about this for a moment. What are you praying for right now? I'm assuming that there's at least something that you're like, God, I need this. There is a need, a hunger, a problem. What if you were the answer to someone's prayer just like that? What if God had given you something to be the answer to prayer for someone else? And you go, no thanks, I'd rather hold on to it. Serving each other means using our freedom to serve those whom Christ loved enough to purchase with His blood. That's why the church is beautiful and why serving her is a glorious privilege. I'm often reminded when it comes to this one of a quote from the father of modern Methodism, John Wesley. He had a rule that put together the practical commands of Scripture about serving. Here's what it says. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. If you see an opportunity to do good, do it. It's creative. It's a good rule to live by. If you can, I'd recommend memorizing it. But the whole point of it is, if you can do good, do it. Period. Let's keep it brief. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What's the golden rule? Anybody know? Do unto others. You know that did not originate with Christ. With Jesus, at least in its basic form. All the way back, thousands of years before Jesus walked the earth, the quotation was, don't do what you would not want others to do to you. Very simple. Here's the thing, Jesus flipped it on its head. The way he puts it is, do to others what you would want them to do to you. Not don't do those bad things. We are called to do the good things that we would want. So in your situation, if you know of somebody who is going through an experience, somebody who is struggling with something, empathy and sympathy would think through from their point of view, what would I want someone to do for me in that moment? And then you simply do it. You don't have to wait for permission. That's service. Love your neighbor as yourself. Think through this idea, how would I feel loved in the middle of this? If you want to know how you can serve, ask yourself, what would love do? Then do it. What would I want others to do for me if I were in their shoes? We can also ask ourselves other questions like, what skills has God given me? What resources do I have? What are my strengths? What needs am I aware of? What has God let me see as an opportunity? And how can I be deployed into it? When you answer those questions, follow Peter's directions. As each has received a gift, Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Notice he doesn't say, those of you that have received a gift. He says, as each has received a gift. That means that in this room, as many seats are filled by a believer in Jesus Christ, there's at least that many gifts in the room too. Each has received a gift. And how are we to use it? To serve one another. God didn't give you a gift for you to sit on it. He didn't even give you a gift to make you look good. He gave you a gift, a talent, an ability for you to exhaust it for the sake of showing this world how good and wondrous He is. He has shaped you to serve. Let's put this all together. Did everybody get a bulletin? If not, right now is the time. You want to go out into the foyer. There's an insert. Looks like this. It's got the shaped to serve symbol on the top. And we're going to take just a few moments. Ushers, if I could ask you again to serve, to collect these. And then put them in the office after we're done. We're going to take a few minutes to talk about how we make our lives count by serving. God has given you specific things that will help you serve. He's given you a spiritual gift. It's assumed you have that spiritual gift. There are lists of these throughout the scriptures, but some get. Now, this is not a talent or ability that you were born with. It's a supernatural propensity to do something that otherwise would not come naturally. He's given you a heart. What burdens you? What weighs on you? What irritates you? What passions do you have? He has given you abilities. Some of you were born in a musical family, so you can sing. Some of you have the ability to look at a schematic and be able to just build it. You know what material you're going to need. Some of you can speak. Some of you can teach. Some of you can understand a passage and explain it to the simplest of minds. You have an ability. Use it. What about a personality? Some service is better for one type of personality over another. For instance, if you're a very frank and serious person, very curt, maybe, just maybe, counseling is not something you should be doing. If you're going to tell people exactly like it is, that takes a little bit of tact and touch in crisis moments. But if you're the type of person that is really good at keeping peace simply by mollifying the people around you, maybe confronting isn't part of what you should be doing either. Consider what abilities He's given you, what personality He's given you, and then experiences. Some of you have been through things that I haven't, so you can speak wisdom into somebody's life that I can't. Or you've been through things, you've done things, consider those experiences. God wants you to use your unique shape to serve others. So there's a questionnaire on the back. I want you to just take a couple minutes and think through, where might I be serving? Now, if you are already overcommitted, and I know there are some of you in this room, don't you dare say, okay, I'm going to do 6 more things. Last thing we need to do is burn ourselves out. But if there's an area that you go, man, I hadn't thought of it, but I could actually do that one pretty well, and you're serving in an area that it doesn't feel like a good fit, maybe it's because that's not the way you're shaped. Try it. And by the way, by signing this, this is not until death do us part. This is trying it for a short time. So take a couple of minutes. I don't know if we can have one of the hymns play again while we do that. I was going to have the piano play. That ain't happening today. Anybody know how to play piano? Maybe you can just step up and serve right now. But fill this out, and then I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward at the end of this song, if we've got that on cued. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. God, as we fill these out, I pray that you would help us to understand, that you would help us to see the way you have shaped us. God, I pray that we would be able to use those things that you have given to us to help serve others. In Jesus' name, I pray. Ushers, if you would come forward and collect those. If you just pass those down to the aisles and be able to get those into the office, that'd be wonderful. Final question, very quickly, what does serving look like? As we've talked about very briefly, it is using our resources to help others. Here it's a commitment. And as we get deeper into it, the commitment level rises higher. Each level is dependent on the one below it, though. Because if you look at a pillar, have you ever seen an ancient pillar? It is actually a block of stone cut and then placed on top of a block of stone. And they place another one on top of that, and it is all dependent on what is below. Well, if you look at the pillar, the very bottom is church. The things that we do here. This is church-focused service. Ushering, cleaning, food, what have you, various needs in this community alone require service. But then it's also what we do in our community. These are things we do as group service, where we do cleanup day or we help somebody put a ramp on their front porch. Outreach events, hands and feet, community service, local missions. Those are things that we do as a community in service. But then it's also what you do individually. I'd love to see people becoming individual servants where you take it upon yourself, hey, here's something that needs to be done, I'm just going to do it. Let me know, not because I want your applause, just I really like seeing a servant's heart on display. I promise I'm not going to call you out on Sunday mornings. Many of you serve and you don't get applause and you like it that way. Good. But I'd love to hear what God is doing in your life. And the ultimate goal of this is to become a servant leader, leading others in service, serving those in their care, teaching them to serve, how to serve, where to serve. Now, I'm not asking, as I said before, I'm not asking if you're already serving, I'm not asking, okay, let's bleed a little more from this stone. No. Without you, what we do here at Grace wouldn't be possible. Grace wouldn't exist. I'm so grateful that you do what you do. Normally, at this point, I would ask you to stand up and be recognized, but most of you would be standing. Somebody doing something. And I know many of you have balked at that before. You got mad at me because I did that because you expressly don't want the attention. But if you're not serving, I do want to ask you, let this be an encouragement to you that God has a purpose for you here. God has a purpose for you in your community of serving. If If all you're doing is coming in and sitting in a seat on Sunday and not participating in anything else, you are still serving, but it's only yourself. And there are times we need that. Maybe you're at a point right now that that's what you need, is to be served. Totally understand that. But if that is the pattern of your life, you've missed a big part of life that God has called you to. What if someone else needs you? What if they need to hear what you have to share? What if they need the resources that you're sitting back going, I'm not sure what to do with all this? You have the opportunity to serve something bigger than yourself, something that will last beyond your lifetime, something that will make an impact on eternity. Why would you settle for serving something that will only last until your funeral? If nothing else, I know some of you are listening online or watching online, and you're thinking, what can I do? I'm stuck. I'd love to get you a prayer list. There's lots of people that need prayer in our community. Lots of broken hearts, lots of hurting, lots of need that need to be brought before our Father. I'd love to have us doing this so much so that everything you see here isn't enough. If people are going, hey, I've got a specific, maybe you got this and you're like, my talent's not on here. I'm really good at juggling on unicycles. What do you got for me? Well, that space at the bottom, that's what that's for. If you got that and you're like, oh, there was another thing, these are out on the in the foyer as you leave for you. Or if you were not here today and you want to do that later, it's here for you. This is what we're looking to become. Servant leaders. Leading the way to showing how we express God's goodness. I hope that helps you see a little bit better of what we do here at Grace. Why we do what we do. How we serve one another. Because I want my life to count for something. I'm pretty sure you do too. That only comes if we are serving something beyond ourselves. A great reminder of this is that Him, the longer I serve Him, if we are truly doing it to please God and to show how good Jesus is, here's the thing, the more good of Jesus you show off to the world, the more good He shows to you. I'm not talking like we do it for His blessing. I'm saying the more you understand the blessings that are already ours, how good He truly is. This is a promise, this hymn written by somebody who has lived years. As Dave, you mentioned, I used to be young, now I'm old. I used to think God was good. I grew up and I realized how much better He is than I could ever imagine. I became a teenager. Then I became an adult and realized, wow, I had such a small view of God. And then I got married and had kids. Wow, I had such a small view of God when I was single. And He just continues to grow. As we went down into the Grand Canyon, the bigger those walls got. The further we went, the more grand my perspective of it became. Did the Grand Canyon grow? No. My perspective of it did. The longer you serve God, the better your perspective of Him becomes. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those of the household of faith. God, thank You for the opportunity of serving You and serving Your people, for loving the people You loved enough to die for them. Lord, let us be caring people. Let us be serving people. We want to please You. Thank You that every blessing is already ours in Christ. That, Lord, You reward service for Your name's sake. But Lord, we simply want to please You and show Your goodness to the world around us. Would You give us the wisdom to see those opportunities to serve, the courage, to actually serve in them, and the faith to trust you with the outcome. We pray this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.